Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 809 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Julio Diaz hosts Let's Go Pensacola, heard Saturdays at 4 o'clock here on News Radio. And also, he hosts the Pensacola Movie Club, founder of the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. They watch a movie and then they talk about it every Thursday. Welcome back to the show, Julio.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Unfortunately, no Let's Go Pensacola this week. We are preempted for FSU football, but
Got it.
Yeah, normally. We're in that season.
Yeah, except during football season, which is sometimes and sometimes not. Before we talk movies, Halloween Fest, right?
Yeah, Pensacon Halloween Fest is this weekend. So, this is a great family event. Bring everybody out and come have a good time with us. If you haven't been to this event before, first of all, it's free to attend. So, everybody come on out and have a great time. It's kind of a cross between a kickoff of the Halloween season and the kind of stuff we do at Pensacon. So we have, celebrity guests. We're welcoming Scott Innes, who is a past voice of Scooby-Doo and Shaggy and Scrappy to a number of other cartoon characters. He's bringing the Mystery Machine with him. So there'll be some great photo ops there. And then we'll bring Alex Hyde-White, who has a long career in movies. Our artist friend Tom Zoller, who's worked on the My Little Pony comics and his own stuff, is coming as well. We'll have entertainment on the stage all day Saturday and Sunday, costume contests on Saturday and Sunday, and lots of vendors and trick-or-treating for the kids. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, I love it. That's fantastic. Well, hey, I'm glad to have people know that that's going on because you guys always do such good stuff. Everything the Pensacon does seems like a good thing.
And just so everybody knows, it's the Splash City Adventures, which is formerly Sam's Fun City on Pensacola Boulevard. So you can come on out, and if you like I said, the festivities are free. If you want to enjoy all the rides and games at Splash, they have some special discounts going for that.
Oh, okay. So the outside is free. The inside is a little bit of is a discount, right? So, okay, very good. A movie you didn't see, you guys did not watch Exorcist Believer, even though that's kind of the big release. Why not?
Because it looks absolutely horrible, and then the reviews finally dropped a day or two ago, and apparently it is absolutely horrible. It's running 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh.
Blumhouse paid $400 million for the rights to make three Exorcist movies. $400 million.
That's not even, that doesn't get you a word on a page. That's just the rights.
Yeah. That's just the rights before they, wrote the movies, paid for, making them, paid all the actors, all that kind of stuff. So I got to imagine they're, assuming they're going to go through and make all three of them, assuming this one doesn't outright bomb, they got to be $500 million in the tank. For making Exorcist movies. You got to make a lot of money to make that back. And I don't see it happening with the way the reviews are going on this, but we'll see. I Jason Blum, the founder of Blumhouse, usually a pretty shrewd guy, but I think this was a bad gamble on his part because there's nothing, because The Exorcist is one great movie.
Right.
And then it's just demonic possession. Anybody can do a demonic possession movie
right,
without calling it the
concept isn't all that unique, right? Yeah, no, you're right. It's the execution of that one particular plot. You're right. So you guys did watch...
Linda Blair isn't 13 anymore. Reagan was the icon,
So you did watch When Evil Lurks, though, right? Which is another demon possession movie.
It is, in fact, another demonic possession movie. And I think we've had a few demonic possession movies this year because we had a nun movie that's demonic possession. There's, it's not exactly a new concept. So I don't know that I've paid $400 million just to be able to have a name on it. But, and as a great example, this movie, When Evil Lurks, probably wasn't made for a whole lot of money. It's a co-production between an Argentinian production company and Shudder, which is the horror streaming service.
Okay.
And this movie is fantastic. It is brutal and intense and dark and does not let up for the entire runtime. It is in Spanish with subtitles, so be prepared for that when you go into it. But man, this is a truly scary movie.
Oh, okay. So endorsement for When Evil Lurks. I not watched, not endorsed for Exorcist Believer. We got a couple of other movies. She Came to Me and A Strange Way of Life. What are you guys going to watch next week, Julio?
Well, next week it's Taylor Swift's world, and we just live in it. So that's the big thing that everybody's gotten out of the way of. Unfortunately, they're not doing any Thursday night previews for that. It is just opening on Friday.
Okay.
So we're waiting to see if maybe we get some other kind of small movie opening up that does a Thursday night preview. As soon as we know something, we'll have it up in the Facebook group.
I think what you meant to say was Thursday night preview if Taylor Swift is coming out the next night, but okay, fair enough.
I mean, I'm going to just say this. I'm not a Swiftie. I like, she's got some good songs. I admire her as a person.
Same.
I would totally go see this for the production value of it, though.
All same.
If it was being offered. So.
But we're not in the club, but, you know, we like the person who leads the club. I'll put it that way. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, but not tomorrow because of FSU football, but normally on Saturdays at 4, and then also the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. Julio, as always, thank you for the time, sir. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Andrew.
8:15 News Radio 92.3. Coming up next, the Transgressors Memorial Service. Candy has traffic on the fives.
And the good news is we're not showing many of these slowdowns or delays. It looks like that train is gone now from 29 and Muskogee right near the mill. Of course, there was a long train this morning and not backed up anymore. I'm not showing a backup anyway. 29, for the most part, is accident-free. It is accident-free. It's a little slow in Cantonment near Tate School Road, but that's about it. And if you see an accident or a slowdown, 437-1620. Text in those traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
The I-10 Wired Summit returns October 18th to Pensacola Beach. Sponsored in part by Data Revolution, the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference is your opportunity to get connected on the Gulf Coast. This year includes the AFSIA TechNet CyberCoast track, a $100,000 prize pitch competition, and a concert by the Molly Ringwalds at Casino Beach Bar. Special pricing is available for college students and government employees. Go to i10wired.com for tickets and event information.
Taxes are too high. Spending is too high. Why did Matt Gaetz join Nancy Pelosi, AOC, and over 200 Democrats in killing the Republican plan to cut Washington spending and strengthen the border? Because Matt Gaetz would rather promote himself than protect taxpayers from runaway government spending. Conservative Republicans had a deal to cut spending by 8% and restore Trump's Remain in Mexico policy. The plan would have protected taxpayers and our borders. But Matt Gaetz killed it. Matt Gaetz spends too much time chasing TV cameras and not enough time working together with conservatives to rein in Washington spending. Call Matt Gaetz at 850-479-1183 and tell him to stop voting with Democrats and start siding with Florida taxpayers. Paid for by Americans for Tax Reform. Learn more. Visit atr.org/cutspending.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Congregation, I have good news. This week is an all-celebration edition of the Transgressors Memorial Service. The first item of praise this week is for the creative geniuses at Who Gives a Crap, a company that produces toilet paper that is 100% recycled paper or bamboo. Aside from being obviously awesome, Who Gives a Crap has now joined the information battle for the future of our planet by releasing an updated version of Winnie the Pooh, the Deforested Edition, which has all the stories from the original Milne classic, but now in the public domain after its copyright expired last year. In this version, all the pictures show the 100-acre wood in its modern, deforested condition. So Owl's house is a stump, Pooh Bear's house isn't there, Piglet's tree is missing, and there isn't enough foliage left in Six Pines Grove to make Eeyore's house, let alone a decent supply for a game of Pooh Sticks. Thus, the happy-go-lucky world of imaginary stuffed animals come alive with lighthearted antics and personality contrasts as now successfully transformed into the vivid imagery of planetary despair, as if Pooh and all his friends were living in the reality Eeyore experiences every day. This product beautifully honors Proctor's 15th Lesson in Cultural Appropriation, Geneva Revised Edition 2J, which teaches us that good propaganda always takes beloved cultural tokens and reimagines them in line with the values of the hour. It also follows Eikenberry's fourth dictum, wherever you find simple joy, eradicate it. Nothing undermines our power more than moments of guilt-free happiness. A twofer. Of course, we do still have concerns. The social structure of the 100-acre wood still has a white male, Christopher Robin, so arrogantly assuming a patriarchal, caucasiarchal, and humanarchal leadership role without so much as a free and fair election. Also, we don't like the xenophobic implications related to Heffalumps and Woozles, who are likely just cross-border migrants fleeing political persecution and seeking asylum in the 100-acre knot of wood anymore. But of course, they and many other concerns pale in comparison to the planetary threat from climate change, and progress on that cause is our issue, uber alles. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, kudos for Gavin Newsom, who this week appointed LaFonza Butler, the head of Emily's List, an organization that works to get pro-choice Democrat women elected to fill out the U.S. Senate term for the late Dianne Feinstein. Yes, not only is LaFonza a justice warrior by her actions, but she is also, and far more importantly, the first black female LGBTQIA2S+ senator in U.S. history. What? And to know that Governor Newsom actually promised to nominate someone precisely because of her skin color, gender, and orientation over anything else just makes us want to momentarily enjoy this momentous moment of mounting momentum. But wait, there's more. In addition to all of her solid token representations and certified acronymical identity, Senator Butler is also the first left-handed, youngest of three, mother with a daughter, born south of the Mason-Dixon line but lives in Maryland until she officially relocates to California, taller than 5'10 but under 250 pounds with a mole on her right arm, a birthmark on her left hip, who finished seventh in her class at Jackson State University, vegetarian, WNBA fan who also one time snuck into both an Indigo Girls and a Run DMC concert, loves to read George R.R. Martin novels, black lesbian U.S. Senator. Bask in that glory. Now, it's true. She has around $300,000 in net worth, but don't hold that against her since she's made most of her money as a union organizer and a highly paid executive at the nonprofit Emily's List. It's not like she was in the filthy business of making products or services for people. So celebrate the day and the lengthy list of boxes Senator LaFonza Butler checks off. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
And finally, we want to praise the fine and courageous work being done at Red Balloon, a job recruiting website that recently published an ad that honestly, I just can't say enough about. In case you don't recall, there was a delightful Super Bowl 33 commercial in 1999 from Monster.com that really inspired young people with the ideals of corporate life and how to fit into a nice, healthy cubicle owners association and submit to authority like a good government bureaucrat would.
When I grow up, I want to file all day.
I want to claw my way up to middle management.
Be replaced on a whim.
I want to have a brown nose.
I want to be a yes man.
Yes woman.
Yes sir. Coming sir.
Anything for a raise sir.
When I grow up,
I want to be underappreciated.
Be paid less for doing the same job.
I want to be forced into early retirement.
What a wonderful expression of the joys of corporate life. That ad made me so proud to be a third generation Scrivener's era remediator. Well now, in honor of that pro-job ad from the 90s, Red Balloon has produced their own version. Here, take a listen.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
This is so beautiful. It brings a tear to my virtue signaling eyes. Listen again as these children proclaim their undying aspirational devotion to our values.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
The awareness, the cancellations, the beauty of self-inflicted censorship and the power of fear in a social setting. I'm I'm not sure I can take much more of this idyllic vision.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
Now, other than that last question, which indicates the young man may have missed out on some of his third-year basic gender identity indoctrination, this is just plain inspiring. So in honor of Red Balloon, we just want to say how proud we are at how they turn children into propaganda advocates for embracing our way of life. It's truly glorious. Wait, what? Pardon me, just a moment. Say that again? What do you mean sarcastic? Satire? Oh, goodness. Folks, look, I'm getting a very upsetting message in my earpiece from the senior two-star Wokeodoxy enforcer level 3 in our home office, who is always monitoring the proceedings to assure uniformity of thought in my comments. And I love the oversight, by the way. He says the commercial is satire. I don't understand. How can devout children be a form of satire? They're just eloquently and clearly representing young Wokeolites everywhere. How could this be anything other than sincere? What do you mean? I need to play the last part?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
No! Dear brethren, sistren, and othern, I am so profoundly sorry. I did not realize this company was using that villainous device of irony in a misguided and heretical attempt to poke fun at everything we believe is true. I confess, I thought they were being sincere and it was so beautiful, but in my defense, I was only practicing the fifth precept of wokeness. Satire and comedy have no place in our system because they promote innovative thought, self-reliance, and the questioning of authority, the three most dreaded capabilities that ever threatened the wokeissance. So with my sincerest apologies, I hereby cast out Red Balloon and the writers of satire everywhere. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, be sure to check the postings for your entertainment media assignments this week. With the writer's strike resolved, you may safely now resume watching Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert, and Saturday Night Live so that you can receive your valuable midweek training and indoctrination between Friday memorial services. If you think you've been assigned to Seth Meyers by mistake, just remember, it's our duty to support all the unfunny shows equally, just to make sure the networks aren't tempted to put any conservative content on the air. It's happened before, you know, and we must ensure that it never happens again.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
826 on News
So I'm a Wokeolite now?
I don't know.
Oh, whatever.
Are you celebrating the Wokeissance? Candy's
stupid.
Got traffic on the fives.
We're stupid. As we take a look at our roads, good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. For the most part, it looks like everything is running smoothly. It looks like 98 is not showing any problems from Navarre to Gulf Breeze into Pensacola. If you see an accident or a slowdown, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Oh, somebody actually texted me that they have family members who use Who Gives a Crap toilet paper.
Oh,
that
is a clever little name.
Yeah, and said that they were relieved to see that it was clean, white, and odor-free when they saw it. That sounds good. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Trump's lawyers are asking a New York State appeals court for a pause in that business fraud trial. This comes after the judge overseeing the trial issued a series of rulings yesterday that would clear the way for a possible sell-off of the business empire. State Attorney General Letitia James, of course, suing Trump, his sons, and the Trump Organization. Imprisoned Iranian human rights activist Narges Mohammadi is the winner of the 2023 Nobel Peace Prize. The committee announced this morning that she's being recognized for her fight against oppression. And apparently, Taylor Swift's Eras Tour concert, the movie, is a big seller. AMC Theaters announced yesterday that global advance ticket sales are already over $100 million.
Wow. All right. It's not even, it's not even open for another week.
Yeah,
right?
That launches October 13th.
Very good. David, thanks so much for the update. 828 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have plumbing needs of any kind, a leak, a drip, a weird sound on the wall when you flush the toilet or turn on the faucet, hey, that's not supposed to do that. The house shouldn't talk back to you. And the pipes, if they're talking back to you, that's going to be a problem long term. Had that fixed. Barbary Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system, so it's by the job, not by the time it takes. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing. 8:29 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, Lisa is already here in studio. Hey, Lisa. Good to have Lisa Newell from the Gulf Breeze News is on the wrap. We'll, I'll be seeing her twice today, this morning and also tonight at the Taste of Gulf Breeze. It's going to be taking place. That's good. What else do we have going on? Oh, this is going to, like, I saw an article that just kind of, I'm going to tell you this, and it's going to make you maybe angry on a Friday morning, but you ready? Candy, if you had to take a stab in the dark and guess, what is the average pay rate for somebody who works at Amtrak? Yeah, somebody who works at Amtrak, like where everything is always on time and nothing is ever too expensive and they make money like a good profit. Wait, none of that's true. Okay, anyway, so what's the average income?
I think we're talking about the wrong Amtrak.
Yeah, sorry, the other Amtrak.
Like an hour or a year?
A year.
50 a year.
Yeah, okay, so it's, let me look here. I got the number. It's 100. It's 100. Yeah, $121,000 a year.
To do what?
Well, there you go. That's the question. At 19,000 employees, and they're very...
That's the average?
Apparently, they're fairly, like, they don't want to disclose the information. And so, Not the Bee has put in a Freedom of Information Act request, which they say they are exempt from. Like, they're being very cagey about this. But yeah, apparently the average employee at Amtrak, top executives make $500,000 to $800,000, but the average employee is making $121,000.
Wow. We need to switch places.
So do with that what you will. David, what do you have coming up, sir? Oh, I surprised him. He'll have good local news coming up after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Twice as many new jobs were added to the U.S. economy last month as most economists expected, 336,000. The unemployment rate holding steady.
The unemployment rate now at 3.8%. Labor force participation rate 62.8%. Average hourly earnings 0.2% month over month.
Cheryl Cassoni with Fox Business. The Biden administration is going to start flying Venezuelans caught crossing the border illegally directly back home again.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas announced the agreement in Mexico, saying those who arrived after July 31st will be sent back to Venezuela in the coming days.
We are a nation of immigrants, and we are a nation of laws.
People from Venezuela made up the largest group of migrants that were encountered at the southern U.S. border last month.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. At the same time, the administration says legal pathways for asylum seekers are being expanded. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 73 degrees. It is mostly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Former area dentist Dr. Charles Stamatolis is now out of jail again, awaiting trial. He was released last Saturday after serving 9 months on that misdemeanor battery charge, convicted of inappropriately touching an employee and pleading no contest to charges for inappropriately touching several patients at his dental practice. Stamatolis still faces a civil trial relating to that matter. He's now waiting on his next court appearance, which is on a felony perjury charge. He's out on $15,000 bond. Two big hirings for Escambia County this week. They've hired a brand new head for their IT department. His name is Russell Clark.
I've garnered a great deal of experience over the years, and I'm excited to bring here to Escambia County, working with all the directors and all of the many esteemed people that I've met. It's just an exciting time for me. It's a challenge and a change, but we're going to transform the IT team to really transform what you do and meet your strategic objectives.
And that, of course, is Clark there. He comes to Escambia County from Rutgers University, also worked at Princeton, and has experience in the banking sector. And as chief information officer, he'll run the county IT department. Also, Escambia County announcing that they've hired Casey Lagarde. She'll be their new strategic communications director. Of course, she spent the last 5 years as public information officer for the city of Pensacola. A Pensacola man now charged for a fatal shooting on Massachusetts Avenue that happened in 2022. 41-year-old Jeremy McConico has now been extradited to Escambia County from a federal prison in Texas. He's accused of shooting a man on the 900 block of Massachusetts March of last year. A flock of sheep may soon be handling the groundskeeping efforts at the historic St. John's Cemetery. Board of Trustees member Wesley Odom approached the Pensacola City Council with the idea this week.
We've talked to other cemeteries around the country. They're using this, even ones in heavily in high-density areas like New York City, and they're using these things with really great success. We think that it will be equally successful here. We have located sheep that are from the West Indies, basically, that are designed to work in hot weather.
And Odom says the sheep would do a better job than humans would do and would prevent equipment from damaging gravestones. He also says that the sheep are less smelly than most other types of livestock. Now, if the council would approve a variance for this, then the cemetery would be adding electric fencing and also hiring a shepherd to manage the flock of sheep. Well, wait times have been a big issue for our local health care system in recent years. Despite adding more ambulances and EMTs, the wait times have not significantly improved. Escambia County Public Safety Director Eric Gilmore tells News Radio, part of the problem is people calling an ambulance when they really don't need to.
The calls we're getting are sick calls, okay? I've had a headache for 2 days. I've been vomiting for 2 days. I fell down 3 days ago, and now I need to go to the hospital and get checked out. I got hit in the eye by something 2 days ago. These are things that just not necessarily an ambulance is needed. If you've got a primary care physician, or there's plenty of urgent cares in our county, but people think that they just need to take an ambulance ride.
And
so.
Gilmore says that Escambia County gets roughly four times as many calls for ambulances as many comparable sized counties do. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. And time for a look at our traffic on the
fives. As we take a look at our roads, good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays right now. 437-1620. You see an accident or a slowdown, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. Appreciate the update. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
30% chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. Breezy conditions on Saturday as a cold front brings some cooler air into the area. 79 degrees for your high Saturday. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 55 degrees. For Sunday, high near 76, mostly sunny skies. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 55. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
It's 73 in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton, and definitely cloudy skies right now.
Have you been thinking about getting fit but don't know where to start? Why not start at Running Wild? Running Wild specializes in fitting every person to the proper shoe, apparel, and training designed for their unique needs. An essential resource to the community on all things fitness related, Running Wild takes pride in serving, teaching, and encouraging customers to reach new goals. Start your fitness journey with the experts at Running Wild in Pensacola and Fairhope. Follow on Facebook or shop online at WeRunWild.com.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Your money now. The market off to a down start this morning. The Dow's down 126.91 at 32,992.66. S&P 500 down 22.34 at 42,35.85. And the NASDAQ is down 75.59 at 13,140.40. Our 10-year bond rate this morning is up slightly, though, at 4.84%. Our gold prices today up $4.30 at $1,836.10. Silver prices up a bit as well at $21.50. And if you're invested in Bitcoin, it's up as well today, up $79.87 at $27,567.77. Monthly jobs report is out. It beat all expectations. The Labor Department reporting an increase of 336,000 jobs for September. The unemployment rate was unchanged at 3.8%. The SEC is now suing Elon Musk. The agency's attorneys claim Musk didn't comply with a subpoena and didn't testify over his purchase of Twitter. The commission said its investigation of the social media platform, now known as X, is related to whether anybody committed securities fraud in purchasing shares last year. And retailers are going to be offering record-setting discounts for online shoppers over the holidays in an effort to entice inflation-wary customers to start purchasing.
Projections by Adobe Analytics show that retailers are prepared to offer up to 35% off list prices this holiday season, with the deepest discounts on toys, electronics, and apparel. Consumers are projected to spend $221 billion online shopping between November 1st and the end of the year. That represents growth of 4.8% year over year. Consumers continue to lean on buy now, pay later options like Affirm and PayPal as an alternative to credit cards and are expected to spend aggressively, even as concerns about rising costs and the health of the overall economy linger. Aaron Real, NBC News Radio.
And right now it is 8:39. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
News Radio 92.3, get your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. Local programming from 5 a.m. until 11 a.m. with Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Expert Panel. Local programming from 4 to 7 p.m. with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. And local programming at night with a simulcast of WEAR-TV News. Live and local with News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
To the hip, hop, the hip, of a hip, hip, hop, you don't stop.
I will definitely call you back later, then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Everybody's favorite quote from Dave Peach. 840 here on News Radio. Commissioner Parker, wrap it up. 840 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's The Wrap. We've got a couple of friends here in studio with me. Mike Kimbrell, who is the founder at Satoshi Forest, the alternative homeless camp off of Massachusetts, and also the executive director at Washburn?
Just director
at the Washburn Center. And also Lisa Newell, who, of course, you heard yesterday. She is the publisher of the Gulf Breeze News. Mike and Lisa, welcome back to The Wrap.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Great to have you. Let's start with this because it's kind of sort of happening tonight. We've got the Taste of Gulf Breezes tonight. There's the, you know, there's another event coming up. Gulf Breeze is just kind of like it's becoming more and more the activities place as opposed to just the place where people go when they're not in Pensacola.
Well, there was a very tonight is the Taste of Gulf Breeze. Which
what did I say? I think I said. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you said that. But Taste of Gulf Breeze is tonight, which is the Gulf Breeze Chamber event. And it is adults only, but it is already sold out, unfortunately. So if you don't already have your tickets, you are.
We'll stop promoting it.
Yeah. So.
Thanks, sweetheart.
But it is a great event. And, of course, we have got all kinds of opportunities to taste from restaurants and different. There's also going to be other businesses there. So it should be really fun. So we're looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
And then next Friday, the 13th, we are going to have the Breeze O'Ween, which is like a Halloween thing for the children and lots of fun for the city. And so that's going to be on the Friday, the 13th, which is a very spooky time. So,
right. No, that'll be fun next
scary.
Week. In your neck of the woods, Michael, I have seen that they, in fact, I posted a video about this, that the park, I always forget the name of that park, but Brentwood?
It's just Brent.
Brent Lane Park?
Park.
Okay.
Yeah, Brentwood Park.
Right across from the elementary school, right north of the church. That's where the tax collector's office is going to be, and they're building a building there, but in the meantime, they've completely closed off that block. That block is a place where, and that park is a place where, commonly, you would see homeless people in the Ramada. You would see them sometimes camping in the woods in the vicinity, getting feedings there. I would say it would ebb and flow how many people you'd have there, but it was always being used by people when they didn't have somewhere else to go. It's also right down the street from the Washburn Center and then right down the street a little farther from the vacant land that had been heavily camped in but has now been, I think, vacated because, you know, people aren't supposed to stay there anymore and there were issues. I'm basically right about that?
Kind of, yeah. So the park had definitely been frequented by the homeless community for a while, but I think the county used that as the excuse to shut the park down to build a tax collector's office. But at the end of the day, they haven't done anything to address the homeless problem in the area. And so I was a big proponent to not shut down the park, but
like to barricade around the park and leave the park open while the rest of the project was being worked on.
Oh, I was completely against the project.
Oh, okay. Altogether. Well,
I think that once you lose a public green space, you'll never get it back. And it was a shame that we lost that green space.
But once it was decided that it was going to happen, did you ask? I don't really know if there was any conversation about, you know, because the barricade can be put up kind of wherever you want. It could have been like the northwest corner of that property could definitely have been left available to the public while the rest had been fenced off, in my opinion.
It could have been. I don't have a problem with them fencing the whole thing off. You know,
once the decision gets made that you had disagreed with. Okay, all right, fair enough. But we recently, something that's relevant for you is the Continuum of Care was going through this conversation about who was going to be on the board, right? And there was some disagreement among some of the different entities here in town. But they've named their members, and you're actually on the board, right?
Well, it's a committee.
Okay, excuse me.
Yeah, it's a committee to look at the governance of our COC. I think it's been a long time since they've revamped and looked at how the governance is, and so I feel like we're kind of starting from ground zero and just really rebuilding our coalition.
And for people who don't know, the Continuum of Care is, it's a word people who are in this process use all the time. It's a word that most people outside of this process have never heard before, and that's just the totality of ways to help people who are in homelessness at various stages, everything sort of beginning to end that might affect them is kind of under the general umbrella of Continuum of Care. But there's an organization that actually is supposed to be monitoring and also serves as the point person to connect like federal money with the local community. Do I kind of have that right?
Yeah. So I usually say that the COC is the gatekeepers of the federal HUD tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
They oversee the HMIS or the Homeless Management Identification system.
Okay.
Which
helps you know whether somebody, how much care somebody's getting and where, and if there are overlapping services and that kind of stuff. So you
correct.
Can really turn these different charitable organizations into a kind of a comprehensive service where they're not kind of wasting by overlapping and redundancy in the things that they give to any individual.
Exactly, and also to help your clients so we can see who has shelter space available, and so I'm not sending someone to a location that's already at capacity. And so it does have a lot of benefits to it.
Well, I love that you're on that board because you're the other voice. Right, you know, you're the dissenting voice a lot of times in these conversations, but I think it's an important voice. And sometimes people don't like the 6-to-1 votes because they wish the one person would just get with the program. I like the 6-to-1 votes because the one person's probably saying something that needs to be said. Even if they get outvoted, they need to say it. You know?
Yeah.
So,
well, and I think I have a unique perspective that I don't receive any federal tax dollars, and so I have no dog in that fight. So
right.
I have a non-biased view of the situation.
You just see it from the user's point of view, basically. Yeah. It's 8:46 already. We're talking with Lisa Newell and Mike Kimbrell about a variety of issues. We'll get back to them in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Okay, watching an accident at 9 Mile and Palafox this morning, but it looks like it's been cleared up. Certainly watch for emergency crews on scene in that area. And Fairfield and Pace, a vehicle crash with a possible roadblock this morning. Slow in that area, busy intersection anyway, as you can imagine. Certainly use caution, as you know, wherever you are. If you see that accident or slow down, certainly let us know. Text it in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you, yeah. Candy. So, Lisa, Santa Rosa County, as you well know, because you cover Gulf Breeze in Santa Rosa County, is going through this same problem that Escambia County is going through, the same problem that every county in America seems to be going through, but especially here in Florida. Affordable, or what they're now calling attainable housing, you know, how do you find housing that's in the price range for young nurses and cops and teachers and, you know, retail workers and the people we need to have, but the price of housing is largely out of their reach. And there's a push for impact fees, which makes those houses even more expensive, right?
It is a dilemma, but I can tell you that there are people that I see walking along the road down Highway 98 all the time, homeless people. Another big issue that we have is transportation or lack thereof. You know, we've got this big project going on to 3-lane or 6-lane Highway 98 in that
right.
area, but there's still no transportation for people who either cannot drive or lost their license or are too infirm to drive or need a whatever. And that's one of the things I've been just surprised that we have never brought that up.
Yeah, Santa Rosa. Is there nothing in Santa Rosa, or
nothing.
Is it just limited?
Nothing in our area.
And, okay.
You know, if you go to like a city, sometimes like a city like Chattanooga, they will have a free trolley that goes up and down the street.
Where right.
Highway 98 is just one street. It would be make so much sense if we did have a hop on hop off situation where you could go to the Winn-Dixie, or you could go down to the library, or you could do some things you need to do, get to the hospital if necessary, or doctor's appointments. We only have one road, so it makes so much sense to me. It would be
interesting,
a great way to get things done, but I can't get anyone's attention on that.
So the beach trolley doesn't have any stops on its way
no.
through?
Well, it's so the so out on the island, you have the beach trolley that runs back and forth just on the beach, and she's talking about on Highway 98,
Highway 98.
Between Gulf Breeze and Navarre, or just between like Gulf Breeze proper and Tiger Point. Wouldn't you know, I could see a loop that would go all the way east to west on the bottom, or just one that would go sort of, you know, midway and back and forth to, you know, Tiger Point, kind of back and forth to Gulf Breeze either way. Do you hear much in the among the homeless folks that transportation, because you don't have, I don't perceive you have the same issues of homelessness in Santa Rosa that seem to be like the same in Escambia County, but I don't know well enough to know.
Well, and that's a big problem that we have, is there's very little outreach in Santa Rosa County. When you look at our statistical numbers when we do the PIT count, it's
the point in time count.
Yeah, the point in time count.
Right?
Yeah, it's less than 20 people, and it's like we know there's more than 20 homeless in all of Santa Rosa County, and
yeah,
so that means that we're doing a horrible job of reaching out and identifying.
Yeah.
And addressing the issues of homelessness in Santa Rosa County.
And not to belabor something that I know you and I have talked about before, but what you count as a homeless person, you know, staying on your auntie's couch, you know, could be. Staying in your car clearly would be. Living in some, you know, woods behind a subdivision obviously is. But, you know, it's impossible that there's 20 homeless people total in Santa Rosa County. That's not
correct.
That's impossible.
Right. Yeah. And I remember when Dr. Karen Barber was in charge of that part of the Santa Rosa County School District, she had addressed a meeting that I was at talking about how many people there were couch surfing, especially teens.
Right. Yep.
And so I know it's a bigger problem. And we did last year, the Gulf Breeze News led a drive to collect underwear and socks, because that's one of the things that you don't really find in the lost and found. But there are, and we gave them out to all the schools in our area, and there was a huge response. We were going to do that again. But she was the one who brought that to our attention. So the schools do keep track.
Yeah, yeah, and I guess I should clarify that was 20 homeless adults.
Adults, right.
Homeless youth are much easier to identify because of the school system.
Yes.
And so when you look at Escambia County, there'll be twice as many youth as there are adults. And I mean, looking at the statistics, you would think every homeless person's carrying two children with them. And, you know, and we know that's not the case as
right.
well.
So the conversation my wife and I have sometimes about this issue, about homelessness in particular, and maybe this is relevant to the Santa Rosa County situation, is I want to help people as much as we can help them, especially people who are unable to help themselves, right? People who are able but choose not to, that's to me a different category, but people who are unable to help themselves. But for example, if you're in Escambia County, you have, and this is not to say that all panhandlers are homeless or anything. I'm just, it's one indicator, right? So every street corner that you see of any significance is going to have people panhandling as a representation somewhat of the size of the homeless community in our area. You go to Santa Rosa County and that just doesn't happen. They're just, people are not at the intersections. They're not anywhere to be found at the intersections. And so you maybe ask the question, well, is that because of no homeless people? Okay, maybe so. But is that a byproduct of services, right? Because Santa Rosa doesn't have the services. And so maybe somebody says, well, look, they're not attracted to that county because there's no services, there's no opportunity. They go where the services are. Is that broadly speaking, is that an unfair assessment?
I think that probably plays a factor, but I also think a factor is enforcement. I think that it is not as permittable in Santa Rosa County as it is in Escambia County. I mean, we have a slew of anti-panhandling ordinances that are on the books that I see being broken daily.
Right,
you know,
right.
You can't be on a median, you can't panhandle after dark, you can't aggressively panhandle,
right.
You can't step off a curb, and I see it daily, and, you know, and so the laws just aren't being enforced. Not that I'm a proponent for the panhandling laws, because I think that these people are asking for help, and as someone that provides services, I see there aren't adequate services. And so until we have adequate services, people should have the right to ask for help.
So you're not advocating for more enforcement of rules that you think shouldn't be in there in the first place.
No, I just think
but you think enforcement is the difference between Santa Rosa and Escambia County.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. I don't know, Lisa, have you I've never really thought a lot about it, except I know when we drive, because my wife and I drive and bike all over the place, and, you know, you just don't have it in Destin. You know, you just don't have it in Gulf Shores and Orange Beach. And so I ask myself the question, well, what is, you know, what really is the difference? You know, is it just we have so many more, or is it, you know, as you say, a matter of enforcement? Because you're right, the ordinances are there, but it's challenging to enforce them, and, you know, so.
I think a lot of people, too, are ashamed of being homeless, and they want to keep hidden.
No, certainly.
But also there's another problem, which is the working, the people who are working who cannot afford the rent that we have in Santa Rosa County. It has gotten so out of control that people are trying to find alternative places to live, and it is it's a real problem because rents are just skyrocketing.
Yeah, and you know what you might have been able to afford at your pay rate 4 years ago. I mean, I think we all know that with the shortage of good housing at the lower income levels, you know, it's not just that there's not enough. It's that because there's not enough, people aren't moving up, creating space, and we have so many more people coming here. So, yeah, I can only imagine. Like, I know we built a house 9 years ago, and I am super glad we did. You know, because if we hadn't, you know, we'd be in the position of trying to afford a house that's, you know, maybe we could buy at this point, maybe we couldn't, but because we kind of got in ahead, that's a problem we haven't had to deal with. But I see it all around me, all kinds of people, and that's another sort of related issue in homelessness, is people tend to think it's all mental health, it's all people who have substance abuse, and certainly those are common, but it's also people who find themselves priced out of the rental market in a job that they can't, you know, tell their boss, you got to double my pay because my rent has doubled, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I'm seeing a growing number of what I guess we would call the working poor in the homeless community, mm-hmm. where they're given the choice to spend all of their money for four walls and be dead broke, or live in the woods and be able to go have dinner and go see the movies and, you know, and have experiences. And I don't think that's a fair choice to put on people. And, you know, I kind of have a hard time blaming anyone for making that choice to live in the woods and are still working, mm-hmm. you know, 40 plus hours a week.
Right. And the psychological, I mean, oppression that living, you know, you take for granted being safe. You take for granted having food in the fridge. You know, when you're, you know, middle class problems, which of the food options available to me do I want to consume right now? Right. Which room in the house do I feel like taking a nap? You know, that kind of stuff. And when you're scrounging for your daily life, it's just a completely different experience of everything.
Yeah, and more expensive.
You
can't buy in bulk and store it. You're buying meal to meal, which is the most expensive way to buy meals. It's extremely expensive being poor.
Yeah, I was watching they mentioned on a news program. They're saying that I think it was Dollar General maybe, or Family Dollar, is one of these stores where they said, you know, it might not seem like it to you, but for people who are really poor, that can actually be a good alternative as food, because it's small quantities that you can afford, that, you know, you can sort of buy on a daily basis and get what you need and sort of survive that way, which, of course, you know, I don't go to Family Dollar to buy groceries. You know, that seems, you know, crazy to me. Let's take a quick time out. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
But you do when you're in a food desert.
Well, there's that.
So
too.
As we
take
a look at our roads, Fairfield and Pace near the Waterfront Rescue Mission thrift store, there is an accident, but it's not backed. It's very slow in that area, but just like usual slow, not backed up slow. You see an accident or a slowdown, certainly let us know. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, mm-hmm. Candy. So we are almost out of time. We got about 2 minutes left, but I did want to just ask the question, you know, we keep fighting about infrastructure in Santa Rosa County. We sort of don't bother fighting about it so much anymore in Escambia County. But, you know, with all the people growing more and more all the time, and, you know, this push for impact fees, politically, there's some fairly, you know, influential groups who want to have them. Mm-hmm. But the builders are opposed. The commission is generally opposed. And I think the burden of that falls unfairly on first-time home buyers and new home buyers who are going to pay a lot more in property taxes because they have to pay the higher property tax because they don't have the, you know, the base rate doesn't get adjusted down for them. Do you see impact fees coming in Santa Rosa County for the, you know, either the school or the county commission?
Well, they have postponed that decision, as you know.
Right.
So they definitely do not want to do it. They are trying to kick that can down the road. And you know what happened with the school district when they imposed the fees. They were reneged
thrown out in court,
reversed or whatever. But you know, there is a case to be made for them because we do have to have, like we say, we only have Highway 98,
mm-hmm.
and there's so much traffic, and we just have no services. So I think there's a lot of things that we do need, and we are getting more crowded, and there are new subdivisions going in all over the place. So
all like every nook and cranny is being developed, right?
150 new homes planned right by the new high school that's going in across from the zoo. So
the old flea market property, right?
Right, exactly. So there's, you know, and 150 homes translates to how many cars? You know,
right,
300
cars. Yeah,
cars. So yeah, it's definitely something that I think we're looking at alternatives, and people don't want to do it, or some people don't want to do it. Other people say, why don't we do it? So, you know, it's an issue.
No, I totally agree. I spent all day yesterday talking about impact fees and property taxes and fairness, and you know, it's challenging. And, of course, again, you know, some people, Michael, who would wish they could have those problems to figure out. Michael Kimbrell, Lisa Newell, thank you guys so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. We'll see you Monday.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.